Anyways, this morning we're gonna be in James chapter 2, and we're gonna be looking at the latter half of James 2. And then next week we're gonna look at James chapter 3, a little section of that. And you know, as we take a short little break from Matthew, and we're gonna be picking up in verse 14, and we're gonna walk through verse 26. This is a nice central theme for James chapter 2. And we're talking a little bit about faith. Last week, we looked at James chapter 1 and looked at a couple of different points that James makes in that chapter about whenever life gets just crazy. The way that James talks about in chapter 2 is when we're surrounded with problems. Have we ever been there? Just inundated with stuff. And our natural instinct is to be overwhelmed. You know how you respond when you're in those type of situations, right? You know, there's other times that during those specific situations that we all kind of have vices, right? Those little crutches that we rely on to help us to get through. And sometimes they're not very good, right? Good crutches. And so there are challenges, and life sometimes gives us lots of challenges. Do we want them? I don't. You know, that's why, you know, I try to plan to try to navigate around the problems, right? So that way we're ready when they come. It's not something that we want. But yet James gives us some insight in verse 2. As much as we despise them, as much as we work really hard to try to avoid them, we're not in complete control of life. And isn't that hard? I don't know what it would have been like to live like 100 years ago. I'm not that old. There's some people who are, right? I know that nowadays there's a lot of great things. And I was thinking about it. In high school, I was doing a lot of acting stuff, and I was going a lot of out of town. And one of the advices that was given to me was, as you're going for auditions and stuff like that, always have maps. So that way, if you get lost, guess what? You know how you get around. Oh, okay. Well, in my 20s, that's when I announced, actually, I was 18. I announced my call in the ministry. And so I started preaching all over the place. You know what came around about that time? Actually, before then, MapQuest. You know, you just send in your starting address and your ending address. And so it was great. I never had to worry about that. Nowadays, do we need MapQuest? With our phones now, man, it's pretty cool. Our neighbor, Dave, we call him Grandpa Dave, and he used to live in Cedarville. There's a road in Cedarville that heads east into Nevada. On the map, it's a county road. And with county roads, guess what you expect? Maintenance, right? So this family was on a trip, middle of winter, and they thought this would cut off some time. What happened? It was bad. I guess they made a movie about it. It was that bad. The reason why they took that route is because their GPS said, take this route. Now, I think Garmin has really improved, right? Our maps or whatever app you use on your phone has really gotten much better. You know, I don't know how many times you've seen those cars with all those cameras, like 30 cameras, you know, as they're mapping all the roads and whatnot. You know, it's got a lot better. So nowadays, it's pretty nice, right? We have a lot of things that can really just make life comfortable. And I don't know if it's a result of that or what, I don't know. But when the challenge comes, it's just hard. And as we look in James chapter 2, in chapter 1, James gives us a lot of great pointers to help us to understand how in the world can we consider it a good thing or consider it to be all joy when we're surrounded with all of these issues. He gives us a lot of great pointers. And it all comes really down to our perspective, right? Remembering the things we know. I've never been through boot camp, but I've been told that's part of the point of boot camp, right? It's basic training. So that way everyone has the basics down. And in sports, what do they always say? Start with an F. Fundamentals, right? You get back to fundamentals. You get back to the basics. Why? Because they're that important. Because they really do set everything in its right place. And I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I just have to get real basic. Because I get overwhelmed. And sometimes you're seeking and you're not finding. It doesn't mean that God's not there. It doesn't mean that God's not going to answer. But sometimes we have to wait. That's one thing about living it up here, right? Amazon was great when it came out, two-day shipping. Now what is it? A week? I don't know if you use Amazon, you know, but it's like it's really changed. And so some of the convenience of getting stuff isn't like it used to be. Sometimes we just have to wait. But when we look at chapter 2, we're going to look at starting in verse 14. Now, we're going to be talking about faith. Now, is faith a friend you want to cuddle up with? Yes. Do you want to take faith out on a date? Well, not the person, but, you know, the concept. Some of them just want to go in the movies, you know, enjoy some popcorn and just snuggle. Sometimes, but not all the time. I think faith is not necessarily a good friend, even though we can say that. But I think faith is a better coach. Because sometimes what we need to do, it's easier to say than do. And what does a coach do? Kind of gives us some motivation, right? Kind of gives us our get up and go. You know, when our get up and go, got up and went. You ever been there? Yeah. So James is going to talk about this thing about faith. The challenge when trials come is that the benefit is not seen right here, right now. You know where the benefit is? Somewhere later down the road. And depending upon our decisions that we make, we're going to get the benefits. But if we don't make the right decisions, guess what? We'll miss that. I've shared it before. I don't know if you remember. When I was living in Manteca, I had the day off, had no school, no work. It was like during the middle of the week, I didn't know what to do. So I said, you know what? I'm going to Yosemite. So I went to Yosemite, kind of. Well, living in Manteca, you know, you take 120 and then you know, you're supposed to take Tioga Pass direction into Yosemite. Well, I didn't. You're supposed to make a right. I went straight. And you know what pass I ended up going over? Sonora Pass. It was a beautiful drive, but it's the wrong pass. So guess where I came out? 395. Like, huh, okay, well, there's got to be a pass coming, you know, from 395 into Yosemite. So I took a right, headed south. And sure enough, there was a pass. But you know what the problem was? Pass was closed. It was that time of year where weather was not very good. And in the Central Valley, you know, you just get rain and fog, or you get some frost, but not snow. So I thought, okay. So I made a choice. I rather had a choice to make. Do I turn around and come back? Or do I just keep going to find another pass? Well, I've already seen what I've already came. I don't want to see that again. So there's got to be another pass south of Tioga. And you know what? There is another pass. You know what it's called? Tehachapi. And you know where that takes you out? That takes you out into Bakersfield. So my trip to Yosemite turned out to be one big circle around it. Sometimes life is like that, right? It just doesn't work out what you intend doesn't work out. I said I was going to Yosemite. Did I go to Yosemite? I think I went everywhere except Yosemite. See, when we say stuff, it's easy. It's really easy. But when it comes to doing it, that's when it's hard. James says in chapter 2, verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, some take this and go, oh, they make a left turn, right, into getting some other hairs. This is not talking about being saved, so when you die, you go to heaven. This is talking about living faith, faith that will deliver you from the trials. Okay, that's living faith. When you face the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they have living faith? Oh, yes, they did. Did the nation of Israel always exhibit living faith? No, they walked by sight, right, rather than by faith. See, and this really pairs well with 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, one that, you know, when I came across, I just really was really helping me to see that more and more. Knowledge, what does knowledge do? Puffs up, right? But what does love do? It builds up. What lasts longer? When something's built up, right, instead of just puffed up. How long does a balloon last? Yeah, but when you build a house, it lasts a whole lot longer, right? Yeah. And so faith is something that's easy to say, right? It's easy to encourage other people to have. It's easy to look back on when we've been through stuff, right? And we have that, right? We exhibited faith. We talk about the past. But sometimes, if not used properly, what value is there? Well, the value of a memory is to help us today. And if we're not using it, what value is there? You know, when's a good time to use our faith? When everything is falling apart. So with that, let's bow our heads in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Father, just for all that you're doing in our lives. And I know, Lord, that there's many things that are going on, Lord, that's beyond our control. And there's many things, Lord, that we weren't expecting or planning on, Lord, and it's really causing a lot of changes. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to not forget what we know. And Lord, help us to know that you're here. And Father, remind us that you are good. Lord, help us to apply the knowledge that we have. So that later down the road, Lord, we'll be able to experience the good stuff that you have in store. We just thank you and bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So James goes into this example, right? This illustration. Now, I'm taking a class. So it's called Wealth and Poverty. And it's really through understanding, you know, wealth and poverty through biblical principles. And one thing that was very, I thought was perfect is it's once you hear it, it's like, oh, duh. Whenever the Bible talks about poverty, you know what the Bible is really talking about? Not much what we see today. When the Bible talks about poverty, you know what they're talking about? It's this D word here, destitute. You know what destitute means? You have nothing. You know, in our economics, you know, in our economy, they have set the poverty line. That's a little bit different than what destitute means, right? So this idea of destitute, you have no food. You have nothing. You just have what you have on your person. So somebody comes like that asking for help. you know that they are destitute. Say, oh no, trust in the Lord. The Lord's going to provide, and you send them away. There's some issues with that, right? Is that really loving your neighbor as yourself? No, not really, right? Just because somebody says they're destitute, does that mean that they are? Have you ever been in this? This is another story growing up. I think it was in sixth grade. I had a book report due. Did I read the book? No. It was actually just a chat. I had to read a couple of chapters. I didn't read it. So what I did? I was amazed this worked out. I asked my mom that morning, hey, Mom, could you read this chapter and give me a summary so I can do my report? And you know what she did? She did. I don't know why. That was the only time I asked her to do that, but it was crazy that she did that. Did I feel like I was destitute? Did I feel like I was in an emergency? Oh, sure, I felt like it. But really, was it an emergency? Or was I just in a bind? There's a difference between being in a bind and being destitute. I think there may be a lot of people that, because of just personal decisions and other situations, it's a failure of making the right choice. And so we feel it's an emergency. When I was living down in Washington, one guy told me this, just because it's your emergency doesn't make it mine. I thought, oh, that's a really good saying. Because sometimes people can come to you and all in a tiffy, right? Sometimes it is an emergency. Other times, maybe it's not. But here James is, it's undeniable that here when James is saying, when this person comes to you, they are destitute. They have nothing. Where are they going to get their next meal? And he says, oh, be peace and be warm. The Lord will provide. He says, is that really living by faith? No. Is it true the Lord's going to provide? Sure, it's true. And if that person who's destitute comes to you, the Lord's blessed you, perhaps we should help out, huh? Yeah. That's called living faith. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if hath not works, is dead, being alone. Some people apply this to salvation, right? That you're only saved by your works. We have a problem with that, right? The main problem with that is the Bible, right? The Bible also says that we are not saved by works. That's what Paul says in Ephesians, right? So if Paul says we're not saved by works, and James says that we are basically saved by works, guess what? We have a couple of conclusions to make, a couple of options here. What's that? First off is the Bible really inspired by God? If it's inspired by God, then we know who God is. We know that there is no confusion with the Lord. And these are being inspired by God. Both James and Paul were inspired to write these things. So if both James and Peter were inspired to write this, is the Spirit of God working in them? Was the Spirit of God confused? Maybe he changed his mind. Scratch that. Does the government ever change its mind? Is it ever confusing? Trying to understand stuff? Oh, my word. Clearly, that's not the character of God. So there's something else that James is getting at other than eternal salvation. And that's living faith, right? And he says, even so, faith, if hath not works, is dead, being alone. We're talking about, as he starts in verse 14, what value, what profit is it? If there is no value to your faith, guess what? That means it doesn't produce anything. But if there is value behind it, guess what it's going to do? It's going to grow. Has your home value increased over the years since you've owned it? What's that? Well, it's like California is like they've been saying the past couple of years, right? It's just been booming like crazy. I'm talking about the state, not necessarily ours. But even then, we need to have a friend that's a realtor, and it's crazy what's still going on. So buying a home, is that a good investment? Is that profitable? It's going to grow, right? Buying a bunch of junk food, is that going to be profitable? A year from now, guess what's going to happen? There's no profit in it, right? You ever had a sugar rush? And then what's the downward part? The sugar crash? Dude, what value was there? James is getting about faith that is valuable. It produces something other than just words that come out of our mouth. Faith that produces works, guess what? That's good, right? Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Wouldn't you say a salesman? If they make all these claims about the product that they're trying to sell, and he asks, well, do you use it? They say, no. I really don't like it. What does that say about their faith and their product? They don't like it, right? So you can promise the world. But if you don't use it, it's worthless. You can say all the things that you want, but it's making empty promises. It's like the book Matilda. Right? Matilda's dad is a used car salesman. You know, taking a drill to change the odometer, throwing a sawdust in the transmission to get rid of all the noises. Sounds good for a little bit, right? But do you think he's going to buy that car and drive it? He's going to make all kinds of promises, right? That's why the book ends with, the cops coming after him. Because he says it. But he doesn't follow it. A salesman's got to believe in their product. If it's really good, then guess what? It's really good. Do you really believe the Lord can do what he says he will? Sometimes it's easy to say. And when it's time, it's really hard to do. Remember verse 2, right, of chapter 1. There's something good. There's something good to be found. And sometimes the good stuff doesn't happen right now. Sometimes the good stuff, it takes time. And I hate that. Don't you? Let's just hurry it up and get it done, God. Come on, come on. What's the big deal? Let's just get it done. But sometimes the good stuff takes time. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, this is really kind of hinting to more of a Jewish, because the Jews, if you're to tell a Jew that you believe in multiple gods, if they believe in multiple gods, guess what they're going to say? Excuse me, they're going to get in your grill. We believe in one God. Behold, the Lord God is one. And James is saying, that's good that you have good theology. But theology is only as good as it is that you use it. And he makes an interesting comment. You think you're so good? Well, you know who else believes there's one God? Who else? Oh, the demons do. Oh, you're so good, man. I'm impressed because even the demons believe that. It's like, oh. Now, it's interesting. Salvation. Do we know that did Jesus die for the angels that rebelled against him? We don't read that. Well, what we do read is that God so loved the world, right? And when we talk about God saved the descendants of Adam and Eve, right? Were the angels descendants of Adam and Eve? No. So with salvation, did God make salvation available to the angels that rebelled and left him with Satan? We don't read that. All indications that Jesus died for mankind. And you think about that. Why did God only die for us, not for the angels that departed? The scriptures don't give us all the information. You know what that does say? Who's more valuable to the Lord? Mankind or all the angels? You. You're more valuable. So he died for us. So when it comes to the devils, the demons, Satan, I don't think Jesus died for him and them. He died for us. So the relationship is much different between God and angels than God and mankind. And we can see that bared out in Genesis, right? When God created the heavens and the earth, who got the A+? Man did, right? He created, you know, the sky, the stars, and he said it was great. It was good. He created, you know, all of the land and all the fishes and the creepy crawlies and all. God made the creepy crawlies. Have you guys ever seen Indiana Jones when the lady puts her hand in that little thing to pull that lever? It's all surrounded by creepy crawlies. God made all of those things. He said it was good. But when he made man, what did he say? Whoops. He didn't say whoops. He said, it is very good. Let's not forget how much God loves us. In essence, we're the crown of his creation. The thing that he's most proud of. Us. And so whenever we look at this verse, you know, about even that Satan believes, you know, we got to be careful. Salvation isn't for Satan. It's for us. We are saved by grace through what? Faith, not of works, right? So we got to be careful that our theology is square, because I've heard this a lot of times. You know, talks about, well, you say you have faith, but do you really believe in the Satan? Even the demons believe. Well, we got to be careful. The demons and us are two different types of creatures, right? And salvation isn't for angels. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son upon the altar? I believe Abraham was saved long before he even took his son up to that mountain, Mount Moriah, to sacrifice. So what is James talking about? His faith was justified. In other words, there was value behind his faith. And he was found to be not a used car salesman that's peddling garbage, but he really believed in his product. To the point that his actions, his words, and his actions were justified, right? We'll take current politics, or not politics, but Kyle Rittenhouse, right? Wasn't he basically justified of all wrongdoing? Yes, they examined. And guess what? The accusations didn't stick. So there were no accusations. He was justified. Abraham, guess what? He said stuff. You look at his actions, and guess what? It was justified. He believed it. He did it. They know that because of the work. I can't imagine doing what Abraham did. You know, I just can't fathom that. You know, it would really get me. Isaac turned to Abraham, right? And Abraham and Isaac say, "Dad, you know, we got the fire, we got all the stuff for the sacrifice, but where is the sacrifice?" What do you think ran through Abraham's mind that instant? He knew God told him to sacrifice him. But you know what he said? As typically I think most parents do in those hard situations. You speak truth. The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. He didn't know what the Lord was going to do, but he believed the Lord was going to keep what he said. And what did God tell Abraham specifically? You think the Duggars had a lot of kids? Abraham is going to have a whole lot more, right? And Isaac was a promise. It was him that this promise would be made true. So Abraham trusted the Lord. Verse 20, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." Right? Whenever in the kingdom you come across that word perfect, think of complete. Right? Last week we talked a little bit about the word perfect, and I used the analogy of a jigsaw puzzle, right? You know, it's nothing that leaves us more unsatisfied when you go to the effort of putting together a puzzle, and guess what? One piece is left. Doesn't just like, good grief, you know. We were at Tara's family's little cabin down on the coast years ago, and they had a bunch of puzzles. So, well, you know what? Let's try to put together a puzzle. And guess what? There's like 10 pieces missing. We go in the cupboard. Guess what you see? Pieces of puzzles just scattered all over the shelf. So I was like, oh, gosh. So needless to say, we didn't put any more puzzles together. There's nothing like missing that last piece. And here, that's the idea of perfect, is complete. Okay, you have all the pieces. So faith, what does it say? See that how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which is, saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Do you know that we are unrighteous? As human beings, we are unrighteous when it comes to the standard of God, right? In other words, we are sinners. We will never pass the test God gives, ever. So Jesus died, right? So that way we could pass the test. And so we are now declared righteous. But there's another side to righteousness that I think is that James is illustrating here. Can sinful, saved people perform righteousness? Yes. You know how? Here. What James is saying. When our faith and our works are in alignment, you know what God says? That's righteous. Almost like God the surfer, huh? That was a righteous wave, dude. Right? We can perform works that are righteous. How? When our faith and our works are in alignment. God sees that as righteous. Isn't that amazing? That as sinful as we be, as messed up in our heads we can get and in our hearts, that we can perform acts of righteousness. And do you know how? Not necessarily the act of itself. It's trusting God, doing it. And God says, that's a righteous act. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. Huh? How can a harlot harlot's works be justified? Well, he's going to explain. When she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way, think God was working in Rahab to take care of those spies? You know what? She listened to him and lied to the king. God said that was a righteous act. Even a harlot can perform a righteous act. Based upon faith and works. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Right? That's part of our belief. You know, when death comes, the day that I'm going to die, guess what's going to happen? I don't know how I'm going to die, but my spirit is going to be separated from my body, right? The breath of life that Jesus breathed into man, and man became a living soul. When we die, that living soul gets separated from our physical body. And guess what happens? You're dead, right? The body is done. So, faith without works is the same thing. That's why I say faith sometimes is a better coach than it is a friend. Because it really challenges us. We all get caught in situations. We all deal with stuff. And it's easy to come here. I'm a pastor. I do preaching and teaching all the time. It's easy to understand this stuff. But understanding it is not enough. You got to do it. When we do it, comes the value. You know, one of the challenges I think many people have experienced, and I never really considered it because I'm not a vet, nor did I serve in that theater, was with the Afghanistan withdrawal. It really affected a lot of soldiers immensely. And the reason why is because they sacrificed a lot to go over there to do what they were missioned to do. And to see it all come for what? For nothing? How would you like your sacrifices that you've made in your life be for nothing? See, that's like faith without works. That's what we are left with. And so the Lord, he's got good things in store for us, right? Yes, he does. What are they? I don't know. We don't know what he's going to do. God isn't a genie, right, where he can rub the lamp and poof, right, and say, genie, do this, and boom, it's done. That's not God. You know what that is? That's a human manifestation of what humans want God to be. Where man is in control of an almighty being. That's not the case, right? We didn't create him as, unlike some may say, God isn't just some figment of you know, superstitious mankind because they don't know better. Well, they need to do some research, right? Well, yes, there are some people who are superstitious, but God is not a superstitious being. Without God, nothing will make sense. We need to trust him. God has good things in store for us. And sometimes we have to take the road less traveled, right? You know what the great thing is about the Lord? He knows, and he's going to promise and have things come along our way that help us through. One lady I met her son and his wife, I think, or whatever, they're going to hike the entire Pacific Crest Trail. I thought that's pretty cool. I've never done it, you know, but I thought it'd be kind of cool. And I didn't know anything about it until she started talking about it, because she couldn't be at a certain meeting because she had to go somewhere around Truckee area so that way they can leave some rations there for them. Because you can't hike that entire way and carry everything you need, right? You can't do that. You can't carry that much stuff. And so along the way, they have stashes or caches of stuff, supplies, so they can go to the next leg of the journey. You know, the Lord does the same thing. He has these little things set up for us. That when the way is hard, he has these little stations set up for us to help us through. Kind of like the nation of Israel, right? And when they got into the promised land, things got a little bit easier. But sometimes the Lord takes us through the wilderness, and we don't know how things are going to work themselves out. But that's where our faith has to kick in, right? Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how this is all going to come together. Remember when Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6? Give us this day our what? Our daily bread. You know what Jesus told Satan? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but from what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Let's remember that. There is more to life than what we can see. The Lord is going to deliver. Let's look at Rahab real quick as we wrap up. If she would have said, I'm not going to do what God says. I'm not going to do that and kind of blow God off. You know what would have happened to her? She would have died. But her and her family, what happened to them? They were delivered through. Abraham did exactly what God said. And just before he's about to kill his son, what did the Lord do? Remember that? Remember that? That little cache. That stuff that he needed to get through. The Lord's got good plans. When we can't see, that's when we have to remember that the most. And he's going to provide. And you know what? On the other side, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be delivered through it. Whatever the hardship is. And we know ultimately, what's the greatest enemy of mankind that we experience in this life? Death, right? That's the thing that everyone tries to avoid at all costs. Can we be delivered even from death? Yes, we can. And thank God that our salvation is not tied up in our righteous acts, but instead our salvation is wrapped up in by faith. And not by maintaining our faith, right? But by just even trusting in the Lord to save you. That simple act, that prayer, God will then promise that when in your turn comes to deal with death, guess what the promise is? We're going to be with him forever, right? Isn't that a great thing? What an amazing thing. The salvation that he has given. That's far greater than being delivered from the trials here on earth. But yet sometimes we value being delivered in our trials here on earth as more precious than our own salvation. Let's remember, what's that song? Faith is a victory. Be careful. Be careful of things that we allow in our minds. That's James chapter 1. James chapter 2 is, Once you get your head straight, go and do it. Because the Lord's going to provide. That's why we gather, right? That's why we sing the songs. That's why we learn the Bible. That's why we pray. Why? Because God is worthy of all those things, right? Yes. Let's not forget. The Lord is good. James 1, verse 19. Is it verse 19? Nope. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from whom? The Lord, right? Every good thing in your life, it comes from God. So when you're down low and something good happens, you know what that's from? That is from God reminding you that guess what? I love you. I haven't left you. And hang on. We'll get through this. And amazingly, on the other side of it, you'll have a joy that's unspeakable. Man, isn't that wonderful? But we have to work at it. We got to go through it. We got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We have to go through that. Don't forget, the destination is not destruction. You know what the destination is to help you be resilient when it comes to the problems of this world. We can stand strong knowing full well that my God is able to deliver me. I don't know what he has in store. He's got good things. Upon those things, let's dwell. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning and just for your word. We ask, Father, that you would help us, Lord. Lord, we all deal with life at times that is overwhelming, it's uncertain. We just don't know what to do, and things aren't working out, Father. And it's then, Father, that your word is like a coach to remind us about the value and the importance of faith and how works and faith together, the value that it brings. I pray, Lord, that we would not just say we have faith, but that you would help us to live by faith. I pray, Lord, that we would help each other, to encourage each other, that we would grow in our faith. And that even though we may not be able to see how things will work out, Lord, we will judge and make our decisions based upon what you've said. Because, Father, you are the only almighty, all-knowing, all-loving God. There is none like you, Father. So when we struggle, Lord, help us to remember you. Then help us to praise you, Lord, and to remember that all good things come from you. We thank you, Father. Bless us this week and just help us, Lord, through our lives. We do ask, Lord, blessings on a Sunday school and the Flex Month, Lord. I just pray that you just bless everyone as we spend a little bit more time learning more about you. And we just thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.